Hey, good morning. How are you out there in Facebook land and all those lands out there? Welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. We are live, and we're kind of waiting for people to come in from the parking lot. So the 10,000 people have crammed into this building, so we have everybody here. They're all happy. We're just kind of making sure we get everybody in from the parking lot. And I guess what we can do while we're waiting, if you're on, and you want to let me know that you're on, I would love to. Last week I didn't get text from you, but I would love for you to let me know if you can see. We've changed cameras a couple times this morning, and so if you're there, let me know you are there. I would appreciate it by texting me. Carl and Amber, I know, are there. They came on, and Kim and Richard are there. But let me know if you are on, and then when we get everybody seated in the... Oh, here we go. How could the old days be here when they're right here? Did you guys just send that? Yeah. Well, the old days are actually live, and it's good to see their faces this morning. Great. Here they all come. I've already turned the ringer off, so... We get a lot of people that watch during the week. I don't know. How many did we have last week, Curtis, you know?
About 500.
About 500 people watch the sermon. Well, the Holmans are here. Hey, Robert, Kelly, the little kids. How are you?
How do you get it during the week?
You can get it on BBS Radio or Facebook, Shattered by the Darkness. The church website, too?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, it's going to be on the church website. So BBS website, Shattered by the Darkness website, and then Facebook has it. YouTube has it. So you can type Facebook or, you know, Faith Springs and YouTube, like if you have a big screen TV. Or a smart TV, just go on YouTube and type Faith Springs, it'll come up. And you know, actually I watch it on the YouTube line. I think the line that I watched on is Shattered by the Darkness.
That's the best way to go to www.shatteredbythedarkness.com and go to the Faith Springs.
It's the first drop down. It's the first screen that comes up. Candy Craig's here. Candy and Robert here. Here comes Pat and Archie. We're gonna let Pat and Archie set and then we'll get started. This is Flag Day. And we're kind of get the intro of all this. Welcome to everybody that's on. Wow. Okay, fantastic. And Don, before we go officially live, are we live on Facebook?
Yes, we are.
We are? Okay, good. All right. Well, great. We are good. Good to see Pat and Archie. They are here. So everybody, all the good-looking people have arrived. So welcome to church. Today's Flag Day. I don't know if that... is a big deal to you, but I think it is for me and the country. I think the more we honor the flag, the better off we are right now as a country. I know our country is in turmoil, but we're not going to hold that back and let that cause us to not have the respect for the flag that we ought to. I remember in the church that I was in Missouri, we started every church service with the Pledge of Allegiance. And the Star Spangled Banner, and then we had opening prayer. We started to let everybody know that, hey, we are God-fearing, blessed Americans. We're going to sing a couple patriotic songs, so if you want to sing at home, go ahead. We'll be able to hear you. That'd be no problem. And then we'll get going. We want to do just one or two verses. It'll be one verse so you guys know it. My eyes have seen the glory, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming. Go home. God's love and God's presence is what this country is all about. We're going to end up getting our country in a mess that we don't need to be in, bigger than what we are. God has to be the foundation or we're going to go down the tubes pretty fast. And I love about talking about freedom. Matter of fact, I'm doing a thing for a church in Austin. I'll be doing a video sermon in Austin July weekend, July 4th weekend. And it's all about freedom. And he asked me to talk about what it's like to let Christ give you that freedom and the freedom that I experienced with my life and holding it in and finally letting it out. And we're going to be talking about that in the sermon. So I may steal that idea. There's freedom in so many different ways, but the reason we get to enjoy the freedom in Christ is because of his blood. What's wrong? My microphone's too loud? Let me check. I either turn my pacemaker off or my microphone. Oh, no, you got to turn that thing on, don't you? It's on now. There we go. Do I need to start all over? Okay, good morning and welcome to back. That's what I had children for. Learn how to turn the computer on. The freedom is found in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Good, you or evil, a victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonderful power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service? Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonderful power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Counselor,
Amen. He is worthy of all of that. All of that. We can have the ushers come for happy. Happy. Ushers come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. We're
we acknowledged Gwen in the early service, but we'll acknowledge him again since it's a different thousands of people. 70 years of marriage. Can you imagine 70? 77. Oh, who was president? I don't know. Who was president 70 years ago?
Truman.
Truman? It was in the 1950s, Truman. Wow. You still look pretty good. And the key to that 70 years is?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Very nice. Every man can understand that in this room. Obviously, I didn't learn that lesson. Jack, would you bless the offering, sir? And may God just bless you as you give and everything. And we were just talking this morning about so many churches are hurting, so many churches are losing percentages of their offerings. God's blessed us. You guys are just being awesome, and we're not taking the hit that most churches are. And I just praise God, because we should have already taken the hit from being in the building program. On top of that, now COVID. And on top of that, they're, you know, riding in the streets. And on top of that, you know, all this other stuff. God's still good. And thank you for your gifts. And I never want to just take it for granted that you guys are still supporting. So thank you for the people that are sending things online and getting checks from people around the country that we don't even know. And God's good, and God's going to provide. He owns it all anyway. Yeah. And you know, he's worthy of that. The first verse of that song, he's worthy of all those offerings. And so when you put that in there, don't begrudgingly put it in there. He's worthy of that. And because we are still in a blessed country, blessed home, blessed family. Jackie, go ahead, please. Bless you all.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are. We just thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy and your watch care over us here and those that are not here. Lord, we just ask you to continue to watch over us and watch over the church. Lord, we just, as we give back to you some of all the good things that you've given to us, Lord, we just we ask that you would watch over it and guide us in how we use it, Lord, and just continue to bless our church. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. I think you all know this. Here we go.
Jesus, I
there's something above.
Something about that name of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but you might as well get used to worshiping, because every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, you will one day, because that's the way God says it's going to be in heaven. So I think we might as well just get into the mode of worship and praising Him now, and then we'll be used to it. And be a better piano player in heaven. I promise you that. So thank you for enduring that. Okay. You know, I'm just thinking, Mike, you just experienced your 70th birthday. Is that right? And Gwen was married a few weeks after he was born. That puts the perspective in. Because look how old Mike looks like. You know, look.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? I mean, Gwen looks.
Yes, ma'am, works.
Yes. Yeah, he could outwork us folk. But that's just amazing. 70 years. You know, I want to also remember Louise. Louise, is she having surgery tomorrow? Louise Phelps is having open heart surgery tomorrow, bypass surgery tomorrow. And she's how old?
She'll be 88 in September.
88 now. September. Have an open heart, and it's basically one of those things she has to. It's do or not. I mean, basically, there's really no choice, and she seems at peace with it. God has been good, but I just want to ask you tomorrow, starting now and all the way through, just pray for her. I think the surgery will go smooth. It's the after of recovery and the therapy and the pain and all that. We're just going to give that to God and be with the family as they try to sustain all that. It's a Methodist hospital, Maine Methodist Medical Center. So just pray for them tomorrow in a powerful way, and all the other people on our prayer list. But especially tomorrow, when you wake up, before you ever get out of bed, just say, hey, Lord, bless Louise in a powerful way, and just be with the doctors and the nurses and keep her safe, and don't let her blood pressure go up one iota because she's excited or nervous. Give her peace in the middle of all this. So thank you guys for being there, doing what you can for her. And I know it's challenging, but that's just awesome. Next week we're gonna give you the victory report of how that went, an awesome way. You know, it seems that I had not seen the news this morning. I try not to do that before I come in and all that deliberately. Because I don't want anything to taint what I'm saying, but it just seems like we're living in a world that we don't know what's going to happen next. It just seems like there's so many things happening in our world financially, with the economic impact of what COVID has done to our country, to the world, to the stock market, to our businesses. Thank goodness I work in an OB-GYN department. Women still have to have babies if they're pregnant, and we are anticipating a huge baby boom the latter part of the year because everybody's quarantined. There's nothing else better to do. So we're going to have a whole bunch of babies come January, February next year. But thank goodness we haven't taken the hit like a lot of people have. But the elective surgeries is obviously being taken. So the financial burden on businesses, not only with the hospitals, is, hey, we can make it up to 90%, but that next 10% we can't get to get us back to pre-COVID numbers. And I'm sure, Pat, I don't know if you're seeing this in your line of work, in like your guys' line of work, and everybody in Jane and yours, that you're obviously probably off the charts with numbers because they're in the cleaning and supplies, so that's been probably good for them. But on the bad side, it's affected a lot of people. So the financial part of our country is a mess. The political part of our country, I don't even know how this is going to play out. The unemployment part of our country, the stress of what's happening in the racial lack of unity in our country, and everything else, besides just our own problems. Because we all came in with our own baggage. Some of you have your own emotional baggage, and you put nice little wheels on it so you can just wheel it around with you. You know, you don't have to carry, like most of us carry our own emotional baggage, but you've actually put it in a little a fancy thing, and you're rolling it with you. But we all have that baggage with us, whether you're a senior saint or just out of college and making your new career in IT and doing wonderful things, I understand, congrats. In the military, Curtis, and trying to recruit people in the middle of a COVID situation. But we all have our own problems. How do we keep the joy when all the stuff around us is unjoyful? When there's nothing that you can turn on right now on TV in the news department that's going to say, hey, congrats, look at this. Aren't you so happy? It's not going to happen that way. And it's not going to be that way for a long time. We're in that kind of world. So how do you experience joy in the middle of turmoil? I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're talking about today. And we did this $64,000 question this morning, and I didn't have to give the money away. But so I went ahead and deposited the check back into my account. So this will be a free pretend $64,000 question. If you had to go to a book of the Bible that you say, hey, this is going to tell me how to keep my joy, you hang silent for just a second. And no, and people, if you're on the double take of the service, God bless you, number one, and don't answer. What book of the Bible would you turn to find joy? What book of the Bible is known for joy? Psalms. I got that this morning from several people. Oh, you're close. I won't give you the buzzer, but that's close for no cigar. The word joy is, Philip, you know?
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Okay. The word joy is found in Philippians more than any other book in the Bible. So I'm going to ask you to turn into Philippians, if you would. We're going to try to get through these 4 points. And, Curtis, tell me if Don says the video is going to get cut off because they want to try to get this done by 11 o'clock. And we're going to be able to do it, I know. The neat thing about this is, who wrote Philippians? Paul, okay. Where is Paul when he's writing Philippians? In jail, in prison, okay? So we got the PPPs. Philippians, Paul in prison, okay? What's he got to know about joy? Are you kidding me? And I'll just go down his resume of pain and suffering, because he had every reason to be irritated, to be sour, to be bitter with what life has done for him. Because 4 years of his life was spent in prison, falsely accused, unjustly charged. He spent 2 years of his life in prison in a place called Caesarea. And then they took him out of that prison, decided to send him to Rome to be put on trial by Nero. And he was there to be executed. On the way, he was shipwrecked. He had to swim to shore. He was on the Gilligan's deserted island during that time. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. He survives that. Finally, somebody comes along and picks him up, takes him back to Rome, puts him in prison for another 2 years, waiting to be executed again. During that time, he had a Roman guard chained to him 24 hours a day. And that process was so exhausting that they had to change guards every 4 hours. So he had a fresh guard every 4 hours chained to him, because the other guards would just wear out of having to be chained, and would let them go, put another one 24 hours a day during those times. Do you think that he had anything in his emotional constitution to say, hey, be happy? I don't think so. Be joyful? I don't think so. But he's going to give us
in this chapter 1, he's going to give us 4 ways that no matter what's happening in your personal world, you can find joy. No matter where you are at, no matter what part of the storm you're in, no matter what kind of baggage you wield or carry with you, no matter what's going on in America or in the world, no matter if you have to wear a face mask or not, no matter what, 4 ways, reasons of why you should still be joyful. In Philippians 1:18, I want you to go ahead and find that. And when you get to Philippians 1:18, and you want to stay open to this because I'm going to go all the way through these 4 points and find verses in each of them. If you like reading or writing in your margin, you'll be able to write in the margin all 4 of these points. If you're there, say, oh, yeah. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this, I say, rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. That's pretty powerful. How in the world could he do that in his circumstances? Folks, this world is looking for people that's in the middle of turmoil, in the middle of this mess. Don't turn into the omies and the omis. You do turn into the amens. And the Lord's going to get us through this, and you smile and love through this and show them we have something to still be joyful about today. I mean, look at us. You all have clothes. I don't think of one of you hitchhiked here. I got a feeling none of you are going to go without breakfast or lunch. Most of you went by and spent $5 on something they call coffee at Starbucks. We have something to be joyful about. God's pretty good to us. But this is something inside. And we'll give you 4 points. I want you to, and you need this, or somebody that's going to get involved with this week is going to need this. Number 1, write her down. I need a perspective to live from. To be able to have that joy, I have to be able to have the eyes of God. God, what does this look like from your point of view? What I'm enduring, I need you to show me how to get through this. Yeah. Philippians 1:12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Are you kidding me? Has all of these marks on his wrist. Probably been beaten a few times. He's got the scar. I watched Jaws the other night. I love Jaws. I remember seeing Jaws in Mount Vernon, Illinois when it came out. And I remember the theater because I needed to go to the bathroom and I didn't want to go near water in the toilet because I was just a kid when Jaws came out. And I remember I needed to go to the restroom. But I don't know if this thing's going to come out of the toilet or not. It scared me that much. But you remember this one scene where they're all on the boat and it's at night and Jaws is out there, you know, swimming around and they're all talking around and he starts showing the different scars and then they're lifting up and then they're showing the one where the shark bit his calf half off and a stingray got him here or whatever. They were all competing back and forth with scars. Can you imagine what Paul had? He said, look at all of this. But every one of these, praise the Lord, it was used to advance Christ. It was used to be able to get it out for more of him to people. That's pretty powerful. Right in the middle of all that, he said, this is to serve to advance the gospel. That is what's God's perspective. 2 benefits Paul realized there was from being in prison. Verse 13, as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. There's a reason right there. Being in prison was given to him as an inside opportunity to share Christ with people. Can you imagine how many people he led to the Lord or at least talked to? I would imagine those guards would say, get me out of here. You got people that's like that, they call, and you go, all you have to do is say, hello, my mom. I could call my mom 24 hours a day. And I would normally call my mom when I was embalming a body. And it would be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd pick up a body and we'd be embalming. And I'd call mom and say, hey, what's going on? And she's, oh, you work in the city. Yeah. And that's all I had to say. And then she'd take off. And I could literally lay the phone down, go out and do something in the car, come back, and she's, okay, she's still there. And she, that's all it takes. Can you imagine Paul was probably the same way? Here he is chained to these guards. He said, but I've been here. There's, and I notice the way he puts this, clear throughout the whole palace. They know why I'm here. I would imagine they do, because every one of them, every one of those guards have heard what it was like to be hooked up to him. I think somebody in one of the reference books said there was over 4,000 different guard opportunities during those 4-hour stints in those years that he was in there. It probably wasn't 4,000 different people, but 4,000 different shifts that got to listen to Paul's story about Christ. One reason of being in prison. The second benefit of being in prison for Paul was verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. The second thing is his attitude had helped other people know who he was. Anytime that you have an experience and you face a problem joyfully, two things is going to happen. I promise you this. You're going to impress unbelievers. If you stay joyful in the middle of the worst turmoil in your life, you're going to impress unbelievers, and you will also encourage believers. And Paul said right here, I've impressed the guards, and I'm giving courage to all of those believers that are hearing that I'm still preaching Christ while I'm in prison. Anytime you have those turmoils, remember, there's two sets of people watching you and watching how you handle problems. When you go into a staff meeting and all they want to do is moan and groan about what's happening in the world and how bad everything is, they are watching how you react. You can be encouragement to the believers, and you can be impressing to the unbelievers. There's a life lesson under each one of these points. You need a perspective to live from. The life lesson is God has a purpose behind every one of your problems. God has a purpose for everything that we're going through as a country. There's a purpose for this. He has a reason for this. Sometimes you have to take it all the way down to rubble to rebuild better, to rebuild and hopefully not repeat, although we are repeating history again, but let it all go down to rubble to build it up right this time. There's a reason God has this stuff going on. But I dare you, I double dog dare you to, when you're in a problem, change your prayer of saying, oh Lord, why me? To God, help me see my problems from your point of view. What I'm going through right now, because let's face it, most of our problems are what we're going through. Some of them are because of our actions. Okay? Could be. In relationships, we say the wrong thing, we do the wrong thing, whatever. Could be. Some of us not. But just pray next time, Lord, help me see my problem from your point of view. What do you want me to get out of this? How do you want me to grow from this? And even kids, hey, those two precious girls back there, what can you learn from what we're going through as a country? Because folks, they're watching. They're watching how we're handling it. They're watching what we say in front of people and watch what we're saying behind closed doors in the family room. They're watching. And matter of fact, they're hearing what you're saying while they're in bed when you don't think they can. They're hearing and seeing everything, and that's important. God, what can I learn from this problem? Number two, I need a priority to live by. I need a perspective to live from. I need a priority to live by. Verses 15 and 16 go like this. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. He has a priority. He's appointed to defend that gospel. He's appointed to be a missionary and talk about that gospel. Most of the time, we want to strike back. Most of the time, we want to get even. Most of the time, we want to defend ourselves when people attack who we are. How do you respond to criticism? How do you respond when people are talking bad about us? Verse 18, he says it right here. Jump down to verse 18. What then? We already talked about it. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. That's how he did it. That's how he handled the criticism. It doesn't matter. As long as Christ is preached through the process, I can do it. So I have to have a priority to live by in my life. It doesn't matter as long as the priority is in Christ. Proverbs 3:6 goes like this. In everything you do, put God first. Proverbs 3:6. He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Circle first. There's a life lesson here. You need a priority to live by. If you want to be joyful no matter what, no matter what's going on in your situation, you got to focus on what really counts in life. You got to focus on what really counts. What would that be? Most people live as if this is all there is. E.V. Hill, if you ever want to hear one of the best sermons ever, look up, I'm sure it's on YouTube. He's been dead for years. Los Angeles minister, E.V. Hill. Have you ever heard E.V. Hill? Yeah, in Los Angeles, just unbelievable. Did a sermon called This Ain't It. You think it's bad? You think this is all there is? This ain't it. Why? Because of Mark 8:36. For what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's it. That's what it's all about. Live in the light of eternity. In everything that we do, we need to live because eternity is going to depend on it. How we're going to spend eternity. We don't understand that. We blow way past that. I need a power to live on, number three. Priority to live by and a power now to live on. Verses 19 and 20 go like this. It's still Philippians 1. I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. I will let you know. A lot of people, we talked about this very intimately in the first service, a lot of people in life right now don't know what they're going to do to get through the day. And I could go around the room. Life gets heavy at times. Life gets hard at times. How am I going to make it through that? Then they've done that, right? How do you do that? How do you get through that? Bill, you've been there, done that. Bill, you've been there. Bernice, you've been there, done that. Shauna, you've been there, done that. I think one of the first, how many years ago has it been since your husband passed away?
5 years.
It's been 5 years? Okay. I remember services, but I remember the song that that girl, Break Every Chain. I will never forget that song because of how you connected with that. How do you get through times, Pat, when you're laying there and you don't know if it's going to get better? Louise may need this in a week or two. oh, this was a mistake. I pray that she didn't think that. How am I going to get through this? And we just, I've been there. I get there a lot. And I don't want to tell you how many times, but I get there a lot. We're just like, I'm tired. I don't want to go another step. I think I'm done. And you just, life just wears you out. It does. And it seems like you get to sleep and then you wake up and you got to do it all over again. And the Lord just get me through the day. And then you sleep for a little bit. Oh, got to do it all over again. It's just like a hamster on a wheel. And life gets to be that way sometimes. How do you get through that? Paul gives us two sources of strength in that 19 and 20. Look at it. I will continue to rejoice. He's in chains. He's in prison. I will continue to rejoice. Why? Because of your prayers. He's saying right there, your prayers, our prayers, are going to get Luis through that. Got Candy through your situation. And where would you be without those? We don't even want to go to that. Andy, where would we be without prayer? I don't know how people get through life without prayer. If you don't have prayer in your life, I don't know how you're enduring, because you're missing one of the most awesome blessings in life, to have somebody that loves you and cares for you and say, I've got you. I've got your back. I'm going to pray for you. That's what it's all about. There's power in that. And if we don't jump into that power, we're letting down the people that we love. So when somebody says, hey, can you pray for me? Don't just say, yeah, I got you. And then go out to the car and never think of them again. That's a sin. You will be held accountable for that. That's a vow. God says, I prefer you to not promise anything if you're not going to keep your word. So you got to keep that. And Paul's saying, there's power there. What I'm going through right now, the thing that's sustaining me right now, is prayer. Pray when you get in those days. And the second thing that sustains him is what? The Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. It says right there, the help given me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. When you have prayer, when you have the Spirit strengthening you, then you get the word that I hope your version has. And it's in verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope. Hope. We have to have hope. Without hope, we have nothing. Got a new book coming out called The Roadmap to Hope. How can I write a book about hope and it not be based on God's word? It can't be done. So it has to be on that. That's where the hope is. If it's just in mantras, if it's just in feel-good books and self-improvement books, with these Barnes & Noble's full of them, it won't get you there. But it has to be hope, and you need that hope. And there's a study at Cornell University that they did over 25,000 prisoners that were prisoners of war in World War II. And their outcome was they discovered that the human being has a tremendous ability to withstand any kind of pain, any kind of pressure, any kind of problem with these World War II prisoners of war, as long as they had hope. Without hope, it was over. Corrie Ten Boom, without hope, how could she endure what she had to endure? It would be over. Philippians 4:13, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. God's answer to when you are absolutely, personally, energy crisis in your life. I have no more. What's another version of Philippians 4:13, Philip?
I can do all things with Christ that strengthens me.
Absolutely. When you are zero in your tank, don't go to Stripes to fill it. You're low on gas, go to Stripes, it's fine. But when you're emotionally, spiritually, and everything else in your mind bankrupt, that's the verse That's the recovery. That's the promise. That's the prescription. I can do all things, not some, not most. I can do all things because Christ strengthens me. With him, I can do it. So when you get to that point to where you look at the ledge and you go, it may not be that bad. And I've been there in my life. I've been there when you're driving 80 miles an hour and you want to just do this. When I was a kid, I talk about that in the second book in more detail than ever. There's days that there was like that. In Christ, though, in Christ, I can do anything, no matter what. That's where the joy is found, and that's God's answer to your personal energy crisis. And the lesson number three, under point three, is with God's power, nothing can devastate me. Nothing can destroy me. Didn't say it wouldn't bother me. Didn't say it wouldn't upset me. Didn't say it wouldn't disturb me. It just won't destroy or devastate me. You just tell God, God, you got to handle this problem because you are. You are the one. I can't do that. Number four, and we're done. So what we got so far, we got a perspective to live for, a priority to live by, a power to live on, and then the last one, a purpose to live for. A purpose to live for. Paul's old. He's waiting to be executed. They've taken every single thing in his life away from him. He has nothing. No friends, no ministry, no freedom, no privacy, nothing. I don't think this prison that he was in is like the prisons of today where those tax evasion people go and they get to watch HBO 24/7 and get three squares a day and nice clean sheets every week. I don't think that was the kind of prison, because I would imagine the builders of this prison was very good at making everything the worst possible way it could be. I'm going to build it this way so it would pay me more. I'm going to build it this way so it would hurt even more. Did you get to see any prisons when you was over in Holy Land? Did they have any of those? Do you remember? That would be interesting to see, because I always picture it's like the old cartoons when you have the prisoners down in the cellar and they're chained up this way. But I've always wondered what it was like. But I promise you, it wasn't cozy. It wasn't a stainless steel toilet and a cot in the corner. No way. And they'd taken everything away from this man, but still, they couldn't take his purpose away. They couldn't steal that from him. People try to take your purpose away all the time. But Paul's response to that was verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. One last question. How would you answer that? For you to live is what? What would you put there? Family? Work? I tend to put priority in work. Why, I don't know. Because I guarantee you that if the budget gets down low enough, see ya. There wouldn't be any, oh, Greg, you've been a great guy for all these years. Hit the road, Jack. It would be that way. But why do we do that? But we do. So how would you answer that question? For me to live is what? How about you? How would you answer that question? For you to live is what? What would that be? And in America, there's several things that they answer that with. For me to live is possessions. I want more. More, more, and more. And if I can't get it the right way, I'll get it the wrong way. If I want something on the other side of a locked door, I'll break through and get it. Because I want more. have to have it. iPhone 18 has come out. No, it hasn't. But when it does, those that just got the 17 where you can figure out how to configure it and to take pictures with it, oh, I got to stand in line for 3 hours to get the 18. Because it's all about possessions, is it not? It's that way in America. For me to live is pleasure. If it feels good, I'm going to do it, baby. It's not about possessions or pleasure. It's about prestige or power. I want everybody to know who I am. All those little initials behind their names. We got some that initial so many that they have to have a elongated business card. It's continued on back. BS, MA, and all that. Well, BS is a good way to start that, is all I got to say. All that means is that I have a PhD piece of paper in my underwear drawer. That means nothing else. And I have a heck of a student loan. I paid it off, but I did. It means nothing else. Prestige, power. Americans want that. They want that. I want to let you know that all of those are weak purposes for living. Because Paul says right here, the truth is, none of those things that we mentioned, pleasure, possessions, prestige, is going to last. It's all going to fade out. It's all going to rust out. It's all going to give out. And Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm ready to live. I am ready to live because I'm already ready to die. Does that make sense? That's where the joy is. I'm ready to experience life to the fullest because I'm ready to die. And once I have that in, and that locked in, that is on Christ, nothing else seems to be important because the ultimate is eternity. And if you don't have eternity, then you aren't living to begin with. So for me to live is Christ. You got to have that first. And then you can move forward with experiencing life. You have that? You have that joy? And that last life lesson is the secret of joy. Is this. Hello. Put Christ first. Number one, Christ. Put others second. And put yourself third. That'll bring you joy that only Christ can give you. And I promise you that if Paul could deal with that in the depths of a prison, we can deal with that in whatever depths of a problem that you are living in right now. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your love. Lord, we need joy in us because the world is kind of dreary right now. Show us how to find that. Show us how to focus that on you. Show us how to build our lives and our purpose and everything that we spoke about today in Philippians, Lord, on you. For us to live is you, is Christ. And then if we die, Lord, we get heaven. Because this ain't it. Lord, show us. If there's people online, there's people in this room that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation. And may we go out and show this world what real joy is all about. We give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you would, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, King and Kingdom, they
there's something about that name.
Amen. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for being online. We hope you join us next week right here for another edition of Faith Springs Live. Thank you all.